to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're out there, as people say about the show. With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're having a listener roundtable with Gox Mackay and Mike Jones and answering a few of your questions. Any more comments to make about that last question Chris asked before we go on to one or two more?
I had a number of favorites. They're all great shows. I especially enjoy Nick Redfern when he's on. I enjoyed Stanton Friedman when he was on. I think that their forums are fantastic. They're a great place to exchange ideas, and I think that's the greatest power of the internet. For us old-timers, you know, we started off with books and magazines and attending the odd event in real life. But the internet has really allowed people to really come together and explore their ideas together in ways that, you know, we just couldn't do in the old days.
Chris, how about you? Because you joined the show, say, in 2010, first as a guest host and the permanent co-host. But up until then, we had a lot of shows. Any favorites that you'd like to listen to more than once?
Well, yeah, in light of the book that I'm currently finishing up on the cattle mutilation phenomenon, the roundtable we had with ex-police officer from Fife, Alabama, Ted Oliphant, and the animal pathology field unit investigator from Wales, Philip Hoyle, that really sticks in my mind because it was one of the first shows that I was a co-host on, and I have had to go over it a number of times. I actually did a transcript of the show.
You have my sympathy, sir. Someone who actually has a business of doing transcripts sent us a sample of the James Fox episode, which I'll post soon. So it can be done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely can be done. Of course, sometimes phone connections and kind of scratchy audio in the case of Ted Oliphant makes it a little bit more difficult. But, you know, there's been so many shows. It was a thrill for me to have Jacques Vallée on. I just was very thrilled. The Stanton Friedman, John Alexander episode sticks in my mind. We've had so many shows with so many high points, and we've had a few shows with some low points. But I think that's one of the magical things about the Paracast, and always has been since its inception in 2006, is not only do we get good quality guests, I think, from week to week, but we were able to pull some interesting bits out of everyone that we get on the show. The Clifford Mahudi show, I felt, was really groundbreaking because for the first time we had a Native American elder in the Pueblo tradition, a Zuni elder, coming out and stating for the first time on international platform or forum some of their most closely held star knowledge and star being knowledge. So every week I learned something new. There are some weeks where I learn a lot more than I do other weeks, but I do particularly I love going back to the archives from time to time, and I have re-listened to some of the Meltdown shows that are actually becoming a little bit notorious by now, and I enjoy my previous co-host's rather incredulous, almost angry approach at times to some of the guests that we had on in the first 3 years. I think the show is a little kinder and gentler now, but we still are digging into what makes people's thinking tick, how they can back up their particular analysis and theories. As for the forum, there are so many threads on here. We're up into the tens and tens of thousands of posts. Like I said earlier in the show, there are a lot of people that post at forum.theparacast.com that I learn sometimes jaw-dropping facts and constant, you know, it's a constant source of links and places to go to do further research about subjects. We have a very vibrant community here. I think Mike and Gogs, there's a number of us who have posted up into the thousands of times that not only bring their their experience and their, you know, their gravitas and their expertise to bear on subjects, but also inspire others to do further research. I think it's important for a forum community to inspire its members to, you know, dig further and get deeper into particular subjects. And it's freewheeling and, you know, the music thread, I don't know how many posts we have on there now, you know, people posting music. I've been turned on to so many cool bands and artists and stuff just on that one single thread. And, you know, that's, I agree totally with Mike and Goggs that this is what the internet, this is one of the biggest positive elements of the internet, is it's instant access to sources and materials that further your own knowledge. And that's really important. And we really try to maximize that here, Gene.
You know, one of the best shows I think we've done at any time would be when we lose somebody in the field and we do a memorial show. So, for example, we had John Keel back in 2009. We did John Keel Remembered. We had Tim Beckley, Jerry Clark, Lauren Coleman, Jim Moseley. And we had a memorial show about Jim, too. Brad Steiger and Kurt Southerly. So we had a lot of people who knew these researchers, and we bring them on. And a lot of times these people aren't regulars for paranormal shows. Like Jerry Clark doesn't go on these shows very often. Then we had Richard Hall's passing honored with Jerry Clark, Don Ecker, Paul Kimball, Dr. Bruce Maccabee, and Kevin Randall. Interesting conglomeration of people. That was August 2nd, 2009. And when Mac Tonies, who came up with the theory about crypto-terrestrials, and he had such a short lifespan, he died in his 30s. Just so unfortunate, so sudden. And we had Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Patrick Weech from Anomalous Books. I mean, we're talking about some people who you don't always hear on the shows, and we were really glad to have them on. So that's a sample of what we've had. And just looking at more recent shows, Lou Farish, who was really a stalwart in the UFO field, and he passed on in 2012. We brought on Jerry Clark again, Rick Hilberg, who you've probably never heard on radio, but Rick is an old friend of mine, and he's been involved in UFO research since the 1960s. He's still at it. Kurt Southerly and Nancy Talbot joined us for that one. And then Jim Moseley. Jim Moseley died in 2012. Someone I've known a very large portion of my life. We brought on Tim Beckley, Jerry Clark, with whom he'd had some friction at time and time. And then Alan Greenfield, Geneva Hagen, and Bob Zanotti. And, of course, Bob is a longtime radio talk show host who did a lot of shows with Jim. And we even presented some of the shows with long-gone paranormal UFO researchers on the Paracast a couple of years back. And by the way, Bob and I talk regularly, and maybe we'll do some more. So you'll not only hear the best of what we've done, but some of the things that Bob did way back in the 1960s that may have some relevance.
Tova E.J. Javert from Brazil. Oh. He's done a couple of really good shows.
I like AJ. He's really a character, and he's really knowledgeable, and it's always fun to talk with him. We've had him on the show three or four times, and he has an interesting perspective. But what's most interesting is he lives in a country, Brazil, where UFO research appears to be taken far more seriously than it is here.
Well, it's mainstream.
Sure. And so he works with people in the government to get this information. I only wish that AJ would come out with an all-English version of his publication, get distribution here, because I think he's got a lot of evidence that we should know about, really should. Yeah. That's AJ Gavard. And that's a sample of what we're talking about here on the Paracast. We've been around since 2006. It's hard to believe we've been here over 7 years. It'll be 8 years very soon. And they didn't think we'd get past the first episode. Gox Mackay is from Scotland, one of our forum moderators and one of our listeners, an occasional show guest. We have Mike Jones joining us from Australia for the first time. With Gene and Chris from somewhere out there, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting. and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Mike Jones, Gogs McKay with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Do we have any questions left in our till? We didn't give listeners more than a couple of hours warning.
Well, we do, and I just want to add before I go on to the next question that any time we have an active field investigator, Stan Gordon comes to mind. Those are the shows that I really look forward to as a co-host to, you know, learn some techniques and some formulas from real grizzled veterans who've been out in the field for years. Those are some of my favorite shows. Well, we have. We have a question here that's it's kind of off topic, but again, Nameless wants to know if you guys think the new Star Trek film has generated lots of criticism. He thought it was okay, but he could see why Trekkers might be up in arms. Anybody have any comments on the latest Star Trek film?
The film is called Star Trek Into Darkness, and I think one of the things that Trekkers are annoyed about is the fact that they reimagine the most notorious villain in the Star Trek canon, Khan. Now, Khan appears as a character in Star Trek twice, in the original series, and also in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. The late character actor Ricardo Montalban, Spanish actor, played Khan, who was, I guess, Indian. Okay? So he played it with his Spanish accent. But he was a great character actor, played him over the top. Really,
the only
character.
Person more over the top than William Shatner,
right. I mean, if you want to have two over-the-top actors play against each other, chewing the scenery, Ricardo Montalban, and who played Mr. Rourke on that TV show, if you remember that, and, of course, William Shatner. So, in the movie, they reimagined the Khan character. Now, understand with Star Trek Into Darkness, the new Star Trek movies that were directed by J.J. Abrams, they take place in an alternate timeline. So, therefore, they can reinvent everything. You could have the same characters with new performers playing them, but all the things that happened in the original Star Trek no longer apply. It was a smart thing to do, because this way you don't have to worry about whether some obscure scene in 1967 on the original series, which set forth something, has suddenly been violated, because it's a new timeline. It's all different. The use of the Khan character is controversial, and let me give you a spoiler, okay? I'm going to ask you, if you haven't seen Star Trek Into Darkness and you want to be surprised, turn down the volume control for a couple of minutes here. Because what happened here is we have the character Khan. In Star Trek II, Spock dies from radiation poisoning. He's resurrected in a very complicated thing involving Vulcan physiology and mystique.
Genesis.
And the Genesis Project. This all brought him back to life in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, which was directed by Spock, by the way. Leonard Nimoy directed that film. Okay, in Star Trek Into Darkness, Captain Kirk is the one who goes into this area with the high radiation. He dies, and the classic line, "Khan," that William Shatner uttered, is uttered this time by Spock, who is confronted with the death of his friend, Captain Kirk, who, by the way, is resurrected in the same film. They didn't wait till another film. I think that whole part of it was very severely criticized by Trekkers, some of whom rate this as the worst film in the Star Trek universe, the worst Star Trek film. Now, in terms of box office, it did, what, $450 million or something like that. Made a lot of money. There's going to be a third Star Trek film with a different director because J.J. Abrams went on to do Star Wars. How about that? So what's my opinion about all this? I think it was a really good film. I think you have to kind of sit back and enjoy the experience and don't worry about whether they did a take on or violated something in the Star Trek canon because it's a new universe. It's kind of like the controversy with the film Man of Steel, the Superman reboot, where, spoiler again, Superman kills General Zod. They say that can't happen, but actually in the comic books it has happened. That's my opinion. Anyone else see the film?
Mike, you're a huge sci-fi fan like myself, so you must have something to say.
I haven't seen the film yet, but I was reading the review the other day. I'm about to purchase it on Blu-ray in 3D, and what the review said was that in terms of the 3D, it's probably the most impressive application of the 3D technology on Blu-ray that we've yet seen. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I actually went to the shops last week to get a copy and couldn't find one. But I will be getting a copy soon. I guess, yeah, look, changing the timeline was something that had to be done because otherwise, as Gene alluded to, the hardcore fandom would just rip it to shreds at every step. And that was going to happen one way or the other anyway. But I guess by doing it this way, he mitigates a lot of the potential damage that could have come out of that scenario. You're never going to make everybody happy all of the time. I loved the first one. I thought the characterizations were spot on. I thought that there were aspects I didn't like, but for the most part, I thought it was a great movie.
And I think in terms of performances, I like the guy who plays Dr. McCoy, who, by the way, is doing a TV series for CBS, Almost Human, where his partner, it's a futuristic procedural, is an android. Okay. I think Chris Pine does a great Bill Shatner. He doesn't have the voice, but he has the attitude and the swagger of William Shatner. I think he does a great job. Not so much Zachary Quinto, who plays Spock. He has the look, but he doesn't have Leonard Nimoy's attitude as Spock.
Well, Spock with a love interest, that just didn't sit with me at all.
Well, you know, I think they wanted to be very different, but why not? You know, obviously, we have to consider this way. His father married an Earth woman, so why shouldn't he be in love with an Earth woman?
Right, and plus you have a whole potential 50-plus percent of the audience being female, so you've got to have some sort of romantic attachment that has depth and meaning. So
it should have been Kirk with a ripped shirt fighting an alien down on a planet, you know, winning a lady. That would be Star Trek.
Remember, Carol Marcus is in the film. So does he have a love child with her in the next film?
I have to agree with Goggs. I didn't like the love interest with Spock. I mean, alternative universes are one thing, but, you know, Vulcan physiology should have been the same all the way through. And unless he was going through the pond far, then there really was no excuse for Spock to have any sort of love interest at all in the plot.
But how then you'd explain his father? Remember, his father's married to an Earth woman.
Yes, he was, but they don't sort of explore too much as to how. I imagine that Amanda's relationship with a Vulcan would not be the same as her relationship with a human. I imagine that for the most part, it would be fairly platonic, except for when the Vulcan mating, the pond bar kicks in.
So basically, Vulcans never believe in casual sex. We have Gogs Mackay joining us. We have Mike Jones joining us with Gene and Chris. Live long and prosper. No, that's the wrong show. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Every day, more and more people are feeling better than they've felt in years by going gluten-free. Now it's your chance to learn how it can change your life. The third annual Gluten-Free Living Now Expo comes to the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana, Saturday, October 5th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Discover the world of gluten-free living with 100 vendors showcasing and selling the latest gluten-free products. Get vital information with lectures on celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, and the gluten-free diet. And with the gluten-free cooking and baking demos, you'll learn gluten-free can still be delicious. There's a Kids Corner sponsored by Sean, and there's even a gluten-free beer and alcohol garden. The Gluten-Free Living Now Expo. It's everything you need to know about being gluten-free. Saturday, October 5th at the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana. Admission is free for kids 12 and under, and just $10 for adults. For more, visit glutenfreelivingnow.org and follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Sponsored by Kroger, Nature's Farm, Glutino, Udi's, Living Without Magazine, and Youngevity.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
There's nothing wrong with talking about science fiction. Is there? Because science fiction, I think, to some degree, influenced the UFO field, Gox Mackay and Mike Jones. Like, the day the Earth stood still, with Mike Rennie as Klaatu in the silvery uniform, I think that influenced some of the early contact claims, especially George Adamski. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Earth versus the flying saucers, too, as well.
Which, by the way, was adapted, strangely enough, from a book by Major Donald Kehoe, Flying Saucers from Outer Space. They optioned it, and I think the first 2 minutes talked about UFO sightings, and the rest was a grade B science fiction film. And Kehoe was really upset over that, by the way. He really expected they were going to make a real film about UFOs and not just a film that used that as a pretext. Although the special effects are pretty good for the film.
Roy Harryhausen, I've used those special effects in a number of mock trailers that I produced over
Stop
the years.
Motion.
Yeah, they're just wonderful. Just I'm a big fan of the big RH.
Yeah, Jason and the Argonauts.
Oh, that's so classic.
Wasn't that one of his last films that he did? Jason and the Argonauts?
It wasn't that long that he died.
I think it was the last major one that he did, Gene.
Yeah, but he had retired for a number of years. I know that. And the thing is, you have to consider now, special effects today may not be as good or maybe better, but it's easier because you're just doing it with computerized artwork. We're talking about stop motion, which is literally what you hear. You take this model that you make of the creature, of the flying saucer, whatever, and you take a picture. And then you have to either move it very slightly over 24 frames per second, and each movement is another picture. It sounds to me incredibly complicated, and it takes a long time. And the fact that it works as well as it does is amazing.
Remember, you've got to incorporate, like Chris just mentioned, the fighting skeleton scene. You've got, you know, they're talking about, what, in the 50s, and they're incorporating stop motion with live action in a fight. And it looks, you know, it still looks good today. It looks like those guys are fighting those animated skeletons. But, you know, to make it, you had a pile of actors I don't know, just looking at thin air. It wasn't even green screened or anything. And you had models being moved incrementally over weeks and weeks, if not months and months and months. And they put that together and it came out with something brilliant. I think you could show Jason and the Argonauts to, you know, any kid today, and they'll get a kick out of that movie, even though it looks a bit aged and the effects aren't, you know, quite Jurassic Park. In their own way, they're even better because of what they were made with.
That's analog versus digital, Gogs. I mean, that's back in the old analog days. And boy, I'll tell you, you had to have an incredible amount of focus for detail and perseverance. You mentioned weeks and months. You can do that stuff now on a computer in hours.
Well, let's just take a look, by the way, at the films he did. The last films he did were Golden Voyage of Sinbad, 1973, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, 1977, and Clash of the Titans, the original version, not the new one, in 1981. And he did some shorts and stuff like that after that. But in 1981, he basically retired. He died just this year at the age of 92. Ray Harryhausen, who probably influenced more people out there, more current filmmakers with special effects than just about anybody.
Yeah, going back to Star Trek, I guarantee J.J. Abrams would be a big fan.
You can bet he was. I would say, however, that I kind of regard J.J. Abrams, a lot of the things he does are kind of flawed in different ways. I mean, you got to look at all his TV shows, for example, like Alias, the one that made Jennifer Garner a star before she met and married Ben Affleck. I really liked it. A lot of things were done well, but then the series kind of descended into all this mythology in the last year or two. Lost, I think to this day, people are trying to explain the ending.
Yeah.
They're trying to explain the ending. Then we had Fringe, and Fringe, of course, started getting involved in alternate timelines and everything else, kind of like what J.J. used with Star Trek. And that got kind of confusing, too, and I think the last couple of years were hard for most people to watch. The ratings were down, but they let the series run its course. But that's what you see there, where sometimes these programs that he does get out of control. My criticism of the first Star Trek, for example, to show the size of everything, you had endless scenes of running around the Enterprise. And the reason you had them running around the Enterprise is to say, look how big this ship is. We now have all these advanced special effects. Why do you need to see people running all over the place? They did a little bit of that in the second film. But the first film had too much of this running, and more running just to show the size of the ship and that very little advancement of plot. What do you think, guys?
Well, Gene, the very first Star Trek movie, probably a sizable portion, 10-15% of the movie, was reaction shots of the principals looking at the view screen on the bridge.
All the stuff around them. Yes, a lot of it was overly focused on showing the return to the Enterprise. Oh, my God, we're back at the Enterprise. Let's do, 5 minutes on that. Oh, by the way, the director, the UFO Connection folks, the director of Star Trek The Motion Picture, back in, 1978 or so, Robert Wise, who directed The Day the Earth Stood Still, also The Sound of Music, by the way, and was a believer in UFOs, the UFO Connection.
There's also a connection with Roddenberry as well, and I haven't been able to find any concrete links, but I have heard it mentioned, and I've read it in the old-fashioned books, that Roddenberry himself used to visit a channeler who used to channel ETs from the Galactic Federation, and that he got an awful lot of his ideas from those sessions.
Oh?
Yes.
Wow, that's news to me.
a couple of books I read years ago that dealt with UFOs, but one by a local Australian lady made mention of it. Now, you can't believe everything you read, obviously, in this world, but I certainly have come across references to Gene Roddenberry visiting a channeler who was then channeling ETs, a bit like Blossom Goodchild, I guess. But there was all that Ra channeling going on in those days as well. So it's not beyond the realm of the possibility that he may have, in fact, visited a channeler and got some of his ideas from those sessions.
So just think,
all these iconic characters in Star Trek, they all came because of a channeler? Huh? Well, I'd love to know the truth behind that. It doesn't matter, though, because we're talking about fiction, folks. This is science fiction. It's not real. So it doesn't matter where he got his inspiration. Actually, what supposedly his inspiration was based on was doing a wagon train in the stars. Take the wagon train TV show, and that's why he pitched it to the network, and move it to outer space. And by the way, do you all know the connection to Star Trek of Lucille Ball? What was Lucille Ball's connection to
Star
Trek?
Desilu Productions.
That's right. Okay, so when she got divorced from Desi Arnaz in the 60s, she took control of this studio that they had, which produced their show I Love Lucy and Others, Desilu. And Desilu greenlit, or she greenlit, Star Trek. Okay? So it was a Desilu production. Then Star Trek, of course, was part of the acquisition of Paramount Pictures when they bought Desilu from Lucille Ball. So they bought Desilu, and it went to Paramount. But Lucille Ball, among other things, not just being a very funny lady and a great actress, was a very smart business person. And she instinctively understood that Star Trek had a possibility of succeeding. And maybe above all producers, maybe she was the one who was willing to take a chance. So thank Lucille Ball for Star Trek and all that came beyond and after that. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
It's National Preparedness Month, and ReadyMadeResources.com is proud to announce an unprecedented sale. For a very limited time, you can save 45 to 70% on all Mountain House cans and case lots. Best of all, you can mix and match, and all orders include free shipping. Visit ReadyMadeResources.com and save 45 to 70% while supplies last. Hurry, this sale ends September 30th. Call 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. ReadyMadeResources.com. Get the best for less.
Attention homeschoolers, teachers, and students of all ages. Now there's a way to learn English grammar using the Holy Bible. Sacred Grammar is a unique book that teaches all of the fundamentals of English grammar using Bible verses. Affordable and simple to use, it's a superb supplement and a great teacher's aid. Whether your focus is teaching children at home, strengthening your own writing skills, or just speaking proper English, Sacred Grammar offers all the tools you'll ever need. Learn to use words through His Word. For more information, go to sacredgrammar.com at sacredgrammar.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Mike Jones from Australia. We have Gogs Mackay from Scotland. We have Gene and Chris. We have one more segment. This one left with our show, kind of a listener's roundtable where we're going all over the place from science fiction movies, and you have to think about the influences of this to the field of the paranormal, or maybe it works both ways, you know, that paranormal events, things that happen, influence sci-fi writers to do their stuff, and then that in turn influences scientists. That's an interesting circle. So do you think, other than some of the early contact cases, science fiction's influenced the UFO field?
I think that the two are probably tied together in some way. I mean, they're definitely tied together. What the significance of that is anyone's guess. That we, you know, we do come back to the managed scenario where you know, mankind is being acclimatized to a greater reality, and science fiction would be a perfect vehicle for that.
What do you think, Gogs?
What was the question?
about the influence of science fiction to the paranormal field.
Well, are we talking about, does science fiction have an actual impact on the reality of paranormal events or our perception of them?
I think a combination of both. I think especially our reaction to paranormal events, because we are steeped in the science fiction society, you know, where we have Star Trek and Star Wars and all the stuff related to that. And as a result of which, when we observe something strange, we see it in accordance with pop culture.
Well, certainly before science fiction and TV and stuff like that, when people saw strange things in the sky, they tend to ascribe that to kind of quasi-religious things, case in point being Fatima in Portugal, where it was, you know, supposedly the Virgin Mary and what have you. But I suppose people growing up today and in the TV age and science fiction age, I suppose if we see things in the sky or even other strange things around us, we're probably more likely to jump to more science fiction-y, because that's a word, type explanations. So I would think that science fiction for a lot of people has taken the place of what religion, because religion used to cover a lot of things and, you know, things that we couldn't explain otherwise. And I suppose science fiction as an umbrella term fits the job nicely for those who don't want to ascribe these things to kind of a religious view. Science fiction fits the mold.
Yeah, I think it's a feedback loop. I think life is actually imitated by art, and art is imitated by life. I think it's one inspires the other, and it helps pull us forward in our progression as a sentient species, and is pulling us off planet. I mean, my friend and mentor, David Perkins, I think came up with the ultimate theory that might explain a lot of this UFO activity and other types of things, cattle mutilations, other things, religious miracles. And that is that we know that the sun is going to go supernova at some point. The earth is going to become a cinder. Life will not be able to survive at some point in the future. And there may be some sort of evolutionary imperative that's been programmed into humanity to pull us off planet so that we can see the universe like blowing on dandelion, blowing those dandelion little parachutes around to see the universe and to, you know, get a foothold somewhere out there and continue to thrive. And it's, you know, it's a survival mechanism that is programmed into the you know, collective unconscious. And we may be supplying ourselves with the kinds of inspirations, you know, moments of gnosis, divine intervention, possibly, to trick us to get ourselves off the planet so that we can go out and propagate the species. This is one of the most elegant and wonderful theories that I've heard, and it makes a lot of sense to me. What do you guys think?
So what you're saying here is that we're being forced or encouraged to go off planet because at some time in the future, this may be a necessity, not just something that we want to do for science and exploration. I go with that, except for the problem that the space program has so much languished in recent years. Maybe we need more UFOs, Goggs.
Well, we've got plenty of time to do it in terms of, you know, when the sun is going to envelop the Earth. But just going back to what Chris says about, you know, that theory, a bit like panspermia, we may be the product of that happening somewhere else beforehand. You know,
exactly.
It's an ongoing thing. We're just a point on a timeline. It will happen after us, and it happened before us, if it is the explanation. And I know that in the Star Trek mythos, the galaxy was seeded with humanoid life, and I can kind of go with that. It kind of neatly explains why aliens could, you know, have a body, a head, two arms, and two legs. I know there's a whole argument about that, but for those of us who think that life is out there in the universe, and like me to a great degree, considering how big the universe is, I would be very surprised if we were the first. And I'd be very surprised if we were the latest. We might be. We're probably somewhere along the middle. And
good point. I absolutely concur with that,
Mike.
Yeah, I don't think you even need to invoke ET in terms of us getting off the planet. Survival is encoded into every life form on the planet, and I think as soon as an animal realizes that their environment is finite, then the survival imperative will drive them to find a way around that problem. And you get that, you know, we've been exploring this planet and we've been going to every last corner of it. As our population expands, we find more and better ways to live in places where we otherwise wouldn't have. And I think that the survival imperative would drive that no matter what.
Yeah, and I agree. And we have not explored at least 90% of the world's oceans. And some of the subterranean, you know, spaces have not been fully explored. But I think the whole idea of survival is really imperative here. Survival and propagation are two of the driving forces with life forms. And you know, Gog's point well taken here. You know, we may be just part of a sequence of events that somehow is being propelled by these basic instincts. So. To me, I think that there is a possibility that on some level we may be supplying ourselves with the impetus to jumpstart, you know, this particular survival mechanism. And you know, where the ending is, where the beginning was, is totally, you know, open for discussion and interpretation. But I think a lot of this is sleight of hand by the collective to fool ourselves into making sure that we do the right thing. Because, you know, potentially within a half a billion years, we better have, or we're not going to be here for long.
No choice there at all. Okay, Gox Mackay, do you have a website or a place where people could find out more about you?
No, but people can always find me at the forum.
Okay, Mike, how about you?
Pretty much the same answer, yeah. I don't have a website that that people can contact me on, but anyone that does want to contact me can get me via forum.theparacast.com.
Chris, tell us about your site.
OurStrangePlanet.com.
It's a strange planet. That's why it's OurStrangePlanet.com. You can find us on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. We're The Paracast on Twitter, so follow us. Maybe we'll follow you. You can also find two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook, and someday it's all one account. We'll make them one when someone shows us the way. Or you can visit us at theparacast.com and learn more of the things we do, and also download every single episode ever of The Paracast. This has been our Listener Roundtable. Thanks to Gox Mackay and Mike Jones for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Okay, yeah, thanks for inviting me, Gene, and see you later.
Thanks for inviting me, guys. I really enjoyed doing the show. Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
With the well-known shortage of availability in guns and ammo, the question is, will food and preparedness items be next? Now, at ProStoresDirect.com, buy a 32-serving bug-out bucket, and you'll get a prime assortment of Mountain House survival food entrees, including favorites like chili mac with beef and spaghetti and meat sauce, all made with real USDA meat. That's enough food for one adult for a full week, all for just $75.99, with free shipping, delivered in a handy, resealable bucket that'll store for up to 25 years. Pro Stores Direct has a huge selection of family-sized food units too, right up to military-grade number 10 cans. And we'll give you great deals on new military first aid and surgical kits, portable water filters, heirloom seeds, and all your bug-out gear. Always with free shipping to the lower 48. Be ready for any challenge with food security for your family at ProStoresDirect.com. ProStoresDirect.com, your first stop for preparedness and survival gear, and proud sponsor of the free media.